Cities. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the Pee Wees to the Preps and the Pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good morning, Tampa Bay, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection this Super Saturday, October 14th, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in our Ice Pick Vodka Body Armor Studios across from Tropicana Field. Baseball Ben Botham has a family issue. Our prayers and thoughts go out to his grandmother this morning. But I've got Joe Geiger, and this is his debut as my co-host. And, of course, he's going to give us the scores here in a little bit. Yesterday, Joe, great show. You and Gav, congratulations. And now this is your this is basically your audition to replace Ben Botham. What do you think, man?
Well, thank you, but I don't think he needs a replacement. I think it's just for a day, I guess.
Well, we got plenty to talk about down here at Ferg's. We got a jam-packed show today. Of course, we always do our Rowdy segment. We'll talk to Jim Hart, and the Rowdies play tonight. It's a little bit of positioning for the playoffs, in fact, as they play Louisville City. The Pinellas County Week 8 high school football scores we'll give you in just a minute. Brad Richardson will be joining us. We got a packed house today. We got the Northside Christian Mustangs football team coming down, and that'll be in the second hour. We got the Eckerd College Triton men's soccer team coming on after our Rowdy segment. So we'll just keep rolling with soccer, and then we've got the St. Pete College Titans women's volleyball team. So we've got a bevy of people to hand out body armor to, my friend, and I'm looking forward to it. Of course, we'll talk to Big O, and he'll preview the show on Mondays down at Sea Dogs, and that is Big Monday. Big O and the Axemen, they do a superb job. It's week number 5, and then we'll also talk about your show on Fridays, which previews the high school world, and that's from noon to 2 right here on FloridaSportsStream.com and RadioSt.Pete.com, our platform. And we just keep launching shows. We're going to launch a fitness show in the next month. We're going to launch another high school show with Brad Richardson that will be completely high school. You know the segment I liked the most yesterday for you guys?
Which one?
The uniforms.
Gotta love Uni Talk.
Okay, talk about that real quick before we do the scores. Uni Talk, and what was you and Gavin's favorite unis?
Well, we talked about ones that we'll see today in the college football world. I'm excited to see, you know, North Carolina's. They got some nice throwbacks with that baby blue. I'm also really excited. On Wednesday night, FIU rolled out some Miami Vice uniforms.
Those were cool.
With some palm trees on the side.
I saw those.
Yeah, each week we'll just highlight, you know, some uniforms we're excited to see because, you know, me and Gav, we both just like, we got to love uniforms, you know.
Hey, what about the college game? Tonight, well, actually, it's this afternoon. The college game day is up there in Washington and Oregon. It's always unique to see what Oregon's going to roll out. And this is a big game, a battle of two top tens. So those unis will be really off the charts.
Yeah, Oregon's rolling out the road cookies and cream jerseys with the all white with the black like dots effects in there. I call them the cookies and cream. They have an official name for them, but they look pretty nice. And then they're going with all chrome helmets with the duck feathers on the side. Oregon always has nice unis. And then Washington going with all purple with their gold tops, gold helmets with the big purple W.
Well, that's a fun segment. What other unique segments do you do besides covering all the football and volleyball in all of Pinellas County?
Well, we like to play a few games. Yesterday, if you guys listened, we did a little thing on called Toy Story Games where we picked a team based on the Toy Story characters from a few weeks ago. And
I got nothing. Had
the Toy Story games. Just try and keep it fun each week. Not be so serious the whole time.
Well, no, that's perfect, especially your demographic. I'm a dinosaur. I did take my daughter on the Toy Story ride. That's as close to it I got. I think I did go to that movie, though. Anyway, I digress. Let's go into our Body Armor High School Headquarters scoreboard from last night, and then we'll do a little preview on the college games down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, where we are each and every Saturday. We're positioned out front. Come on by. We'll give you a body armor, and it'll be packed down here with teams in the next 2 hours.
So the volleyball analysis man also didn't show. So I'm going to be stepping,
we got two no-shows.
Stepping in for him today as well. Monday night, CCC beat St. Pete 3-0. Eastlake beat Indian Rocks 3-0. On Tuesday, Clearwater beat Lakewood 3-0. Palm Harbor beat Northeast 3-0. Pinellas Park beat Hollins 3-0. On Thursday night, Parrish beat Boca Ciega 3-0. On the Battle of the Bridge, the volleyball edition, Seminole beat Osceola 3-2. On Friday night, St. Pete beat Largo 3-0, and Mitchell beat Countryside 3-0.
Hey, that Battle of the Bridge, I guarantee it's not as intense as the football and baseball.
I bet. I mean, I imagine it still is.
So it carries over to every sport, you think?
I think so.
Okay.
They don't like each other. All right, now on to the football games from this past week. On Thursday night, Berkeley Prep beat Dunedin 42-6. On Friday night, Lakewood beat Gibbs 21-12. That was a big rivalry win for Lakewood.
Nice job by Gibbs keeping that game close, though.
I mean, they're both not great.
And it's hard to imagine we're saying that about a Lakewood Spartan team.
Yeah, for sure. Northeast beat Hollins 48-7. CCC, they won on a forfeit as Cambridge forfeited the day of the game. Largo shut out Seminole 34-0. Osceola beat Countryside 13-10. St. Pete beat Pinellas Park 17-10. St. Pete's starting to chain, turn things around.
We had those kids down here last week, and that Jeff Jones, who tore it up again last night, he's number 3 in the state in total rushing.
He's been our player of the week once. He probably will be again.
Yeah, he should be again. And he's only a junior, and he's standing right here. If he's 5'8", I'm 6 foot. But what a great young kid, too.
Yeah, every week when we look at his stats, even in losses, he goes, he has some insane yardage.
And so humble.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for St. Pete Green Devils.
Yeah, that's an upset win for them. They're 5-2 now.
PP was having a great season for them as well.
St. Pete Catholic beat LaBelle 23-13. Northside Christian, who will be on later, they won last night 23-2 over American Collegiate Academy.
I could hear the game from my condo. I can hear the band when they practice. They got a tremendous band, and I could hear the scores last night.
Eastlake beat Sickles 42-7. Palm Harbor lost to Steinbrenner 22-32. Indian Rocks lost to New Smyrna Beach 35-14. And in our game of the week, number 11 Calvary beat number 25 Clearwater 27-3.
And those are your Body Armor High School headquarters down here. We got some news we'll talk about a little bit later on the show of our partnership with Body Armor, and we've got a media day coming up a week from Tuesday down here for basketball.
That'll bring us to our college football today. On Wednesday night, FIU, although they did wear the nice Miami Vice uniforms, they lost to UTEP 27-14. Number 4 Florida State plays Syracuse today at noon on ABC. The Florida Gators, they travel to South Carolina to face the Gamecocks at 3:30 on the SEC Network. We have a battle of the state of Florida today, USF versus FAU, down at Ray J at 3:30 on ESPN2. And number 25 Miami looks to bounce back today at number 12 North Carolina, 7:30 on ABC. The Tampa Bay Rowdies, as you mentioned, they play tonight in their final regular season game, 7:30 on ESPN+. The Tampa Bay Lightning, they started the year 1-0 on Tuesday. They play the first road game tonight against the Red Wings at 7 o'clock on Bally Sports Sun. And tomorrow afternoon, it's Creamsicle Day in Tampa Bay. The Bucks face off the Lions at 4:25 on Fox.
Speaking of Lightning, do a shout-out to Paul Porter and his gang. They do a superb job from 9 to 11 right before us, right here on 106.1 FM, AM 1340 on the Tantalk Radio Network. And tell you what, I'd like to have that cat's Rolodex, being the voice of the Orlando Magic all these years. And then, of course, the Tampa Bay Lightning as well. Great job there with the scores, my friend. Each and every weekend, come on down to Ferg's, because if it's a game you want to watch, you know, in the pros tomorrow, doesn't matter. You got Bills, Giants. This is a big Bills hangout. It is a really big Eagles hangout upstairs. We put them away from the rest of the sane fans, and they take on the Jets. That'll be a pummeling. And then, of course, the game of the afternoon will be at 4:25, Lions and Bucks, and this place place will be a madhouse. There's a lot of Lion fans that congregate here each and every Sunday. And this is a big Dolphins location, and they take on the Panthers. Should be an easy win. Games of significance. There aren't a lot of big games in college football. You were saying, Oregon State?
Oregon, Washington. UCLA takes on Oregon State, top 25 matchup, and USC take on Notre Dame.
My Fighting Irish, and they're disappointing me, I'll tell you that right now.
And then North Carolina and Miami. Those are the only ranked matchups for the day.
Well, did you happen to watch I fell asleep because, you know, it had a 10 o'clock kick, but when I turned off the Colorado-Stanford game, it was 29-0.
Yeah, I was with you. I went to bed at halftime because, you know, we got to get here in the morning. I went to bed when it was 29-19. I was just fiddling around on my phone. I was like, nah, they have the ball. They're in Stanford territory.
They're at Folsom Field.
There's no chance. And then I wake up in the morning and the first notification I see on ESPN is Colorado stunned by Stanford late. I'm like, what?
I was half awake. I thought I was misreading it. Yeah. And then the night before, did you watch Houston, West Virginia?
Yeah. My
my God.
A Hail Mary. I was watching the end of the Philly Braves series, and then I just tuned into that at the very end. That was literally the only play I watched of that game. And as you know, my former high school baseball
Michael
coach,
Miller.
He's a big West Virginia fan, and I texted him right after and went, tip drill.
You're brutal. But I can't believe a fundamental like that, with that much time. First of all, I couldn't believe that West Virginia came back.
That's just college football right there.
Right now, that's the reality of it. And, you know, spectacular games. What other game was I looking at of significance? Well, in my world, of course, my Iowa Hawkeyes, Wisconsin. That does have some ramifications, if none, in the West, in the Big Ten. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Because we know the strength is in the East.
The powerhouse of the Big Ten West.
Yeah, and that's not saying much. And now when the Big Ten expands and you bring Washington, UCLA, USC, and Oregon into the conversation, my Iowa Hawkeyes' days of having any chance will be behind them.
Well, the ACC just this year changed to no conference or no divisions, just one big conference. So the top two teams will play in the ACC championship. It's not one from the coast, one from the Atlantic.
Oh, interesting. So right now, is it Clemson and Florida State?
No, it's right now. Clemson's got two losses. It's Florida State, North Carolina, and Louisville, both all undefeated right now.
All right. Well, let's get to our guys for the Rowdies, of course, each and every week. We've got Jim Hart. This is basically his production. He does a superb job, and he's got David and Avery on the line with him. Good morning, Jim. How are you, my man?
Doing great, Mike. How are y'all? You guys doing today down at Berg?
Well, if we said we weren't doing great, we'd be lying because we're right down here at Ferg's. It's a nice, cool, breezy day. You got college football. We've got an entire hour, actually. I could use you down here. We're going to go a little Eckert men's college soccer as soon as we get done with your segment. And
cool.
We do a segment called Triton Time. I know there's been several Eckert Tritons that have played for the Rowdies, so looking forward to that conversation as well.
Yeah,
why don't you introduce your guys?
What's that?
I said, why don't you go ahead and introduce the guys, and then we'll dive in.
Sure. We've got with us, of course, David Wilson from Wiregrass Ranch High School, athletic director, head boy, soccer coach with us every week. And a protege of David's is Avery Walker. Avery Walker's our special guest this week, and he's been a coach, a big Rowdy supporter. I really would be remiss if I did an introduction of Avery. I'm going to throw it to David for that. David, let people know about Avery.
Well, welcome. Good morning, everybody. I wanted to start by saying, Avery was my assistant coach at Wiregrass, and then he left me. But that's probably not the best way to introduce him. But Avery and I coached together at Wiregrass for a bunch of years, and then we had a situation at the school where our soccer coach had left mid-season. So for the rest of that year, Avery and I took over the girls' team. So we were coaching the girls and the boys at the same time, and it was mostly Avery doing it. I was just sort of doing the administrative stuff. But he ended up running off 13 straight wins. They lost in the region finals that year in penalty kicks. And then he continued to coach the girls' team for the 3 years that he was there. Won conference championships all three times, won district champions all three times, and somehow, with the brilliance of minds, he was not named conference coach of the year after doing all those things 3 years in a row, which was just a travesty to me. A huge, huge soccer fan, and he's the one that actually introduced me more to stuff about the Rowdies years ago, following the Rowdies. So right now he's currently working on his master's degree. Avery, can you let us know a little bit about what you're doing right now?
Yeah, sure. I am currently trying to get my master's in statistics. And although I do love teaching at Wiregrass, I feel like it might be time for me to move on to something new. So one day I hope to get into sports analytics, specifically with soccer, and be a part of some soccer team and do some statistics for them and hopefully help those teams get even better.
Avery, you were a collegiate soccer player and playing soccer and coaching soccer. How did you get involved in? A lot of times when you live all the way up here in Wesley Chapel, driving all the way across the bridge, with everybody complains about going over to St. Pete to see the Rays play. But you became a fan right away here. And how did that all come about?
So my fiance, one of her close friends, her now husband was Juan Tejada. And so when Juan was on the Rowdies, he hooked us up with tickets one day, and I instantly fell in love and said, please keep doing that. I want to keep coming to all these games, and the rest is history now.
Great. Good, too. And I know that you've been to a ton of games. What do you think about the team this year right now and their chances as they go into Louisville here?
I'm really excited. So my brother actually is a Louisville fan, so it's even better when we beat them. And so they've done really well this year. When Nicky Law took over, he really has done a great job of, doing his own thing. Neil left a great team for him, but Nicky has really picked up the pieces to make this a really strong team. And as long as we get our injured players fully 100%, I have a really good feeling about making it to the finals and possibly winning.
Well, that's great.
Go ahead, David.
Well, I was going to say, I know that, we have that going on right now with the Rowdies going to play, and we have college that's been going on for a while, but starting next week on Monday, most places, I know our county and Pasco County doesn't have school on Monday, so a lot of people are starting on Tuesday. But high school soccer starts off on Tuesday. Do you have plans on Tuesday afternoon now that you're not coaching anymore?
I still go and help out at tryouts for you all. So, I'll be there with you to pick the best players for the team and everything.
I was just confirming again that
Avery and David, that's unfair. Yeah. Calling him out and throwing the offer right here on the radio. What could the poor guy say?
That's true, but we had settled it before. I asked him the other day because we get, generally 70, 75 guys coming out for tryouts, and having extra eyes out there is always helpful. But Avery's been doing it long enough that he knows the type of player that fits into our program and the kid that's going to, hopefully not slip by me and I miss a kid and all of a sudden Avery's here and saying, hey, this is a kid we got to look at. And, we've already talked a little bit about it.
It's always good to have young eyes around. Hey, Avery, were you down here for the Champions League draft last February?
Unfortunately, I was not. I couldn't make it. I had too much school going on.
Jim put on a superb job down here, and I'm looking forward to our involvement this winter and into 2024.
February 17th, Michael, February 17th, 2024. We already have that day circled on our calendar. Now, since the topic of Champions League is brought up, Avery, give us your overview of the Champions League concept in general, and how do you think it looks going into this coming year?
So I am a huge fan of the Champions League personally. The competition in just the Tampa area alone is incredible. And so having the best of the best teams play against each other is not only just good, fun soccer, but it's also like the best preparation any of the teams can get going into their own district tournaments, into their state tournaments. So, like, I fully support it, and I actually try to go to as many games as I possibly can just to enjoy them.
It's really...
Go ahead,
Avery. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, you're good. It's just, I was just going to add in, like, the actual semifinals and championship games. All the fans are always getting into it, and, like, it's just the best kind of competition that you can get in this area, and if you, like, want your team to be successful, this is a tournament you just got to get into.
You know, Avery, you've coached in high school soccer. Is it your opinion, like it is mine, and I know it's David's as well, that this concept of the Champions League would work well with some of the other high school sports?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. This would be incredible with other high school sports. Oh my gosh, I would love to see some baseball do this, basketball having their own tournaments and everything, even volleyball. Like, this is such a great idea that could also just help build more high school sports. Yeah. A lot of kids think that club is the only way to go, and they don't understand that high school is just as equal in competition level, and if they were to build tournaments just like this, they will have just as good competition.
You know, Mike, I'm going to make a prediction. I think the Champions League concept is going to pick up, and when it does, in other sports, I mean, and when it does, you will have been there on the ground floor of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection as the Champions League hub, because I think other people are going to pick up this idea and run with it. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's just don't pay your mortgage on it. But that's just a prediction of mine. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'd certainly think that the other sports would want to take that model, because it's obviously a recipe for success, and we know there's a need for it for the youth, and hopefully that will be the driving factor, not the economics of it, not greed, not egos, but what's best for the young athletes in all sports. And I certainly encourage it, and it's not me. It was Jim Hart who brought the concept to us, and maybe we can, over the years, assist in expanding the concept. Hey, guys, I think I told you that I've got a book up in my office called Soccer for Dummies, okay? So, Avery, I got to ask you, and all three of you guys. So I'm looking at this Rowdy's in the standings, okay? And right now, as far as games won, they're tied for first. But it's points. Now, when you come down to getting the home field advantage in the playoffs, what are all the factors that go in to into making a decision on who gets the home field? You know, we just got done with that in the MLB, and it's really a screwed up deal. What is it with the Rowdies from a points perspective for our audience that are novices?
If you guys want me to, David, I can take that. Avery, go ahead. Have a go at it, and then I'll follow up.
Okay, so, yeah, it's just the higher seed will be the home team and everything. There isn't a long break like there is in the MLB, which is probably what costs those higher seeds a lot of their series. But here for the USL, it's just the one seed will play the eight seed, and one seed will be home. Then 2 versus 7, and 3, 6, 4, 5. And then it will continue with the 1 or 8 versus the 4, 5, and then whoever is the higher seed, the better seed, will continue their home field advantage.
Now
what if they're tied?
This is Mike. This is crazy. So the USL has a tiebreaker system that involves games between the teams that are involved in the tie. And so there was a scenario, it didn't come to pass, but there was a scenario in which the Rowdies could have been the highest ranked team in the entire league, yet the second seed going into the playoffs based on tiebreaker. And the way they could have been the highest ranked team is if they tied for first on points in the division and then won the division tiebreakers to be the first ranked team. But the playoff tiebreakers are different than the division tiebreakers. It's complicated, but there was a scenario in which they could have been the highest ranked team in the regular season, yet the second seed in the playoffs. Not going to happen now. It's a difference between a tiebreaker being a head-to-head based tiebreaker versus you against the rest of the league. But as it turns out, the Rowdies are destined, regardless of the result tonight in Louisville, to be the second seed in the division and the third overall seed in the league. Because if you do get to the final, the team from the West and the team from the East, whichever team has the most points, is going to be the home team for the final. There is only one team higher than the Rowdies in the West, and if they should play that team, then they will go on the road. But if any other Western team comes through and the Rowdies make it all the way, the Rowdies will host the final.
Well, that makes sense to me. I don't need the Soccer for Dummies book to figure that one out.
the game on our horizon right now is the Louisville game tonight is important in terms of the team gelling and figuring out their best lineup, figuring out rehab of injuries, but it isn't going to change the standings. The standings are already locked. So the game we're looking at is 1 week from tonight, October 21st, the playoff game, and the opponent is very likely going to be Birmingham. It's a team that is scary, dangerous, but that we've handled in the past. So we would have to go into that game as the favorite, especially being the home team. So that's where we sit in our playoff picture right now. We're looking at Leo Fernandez coming back off of injury. He was the league MVP last year. And then he had torn Achilles and worked like a maniac to rehab it so that he could get back in time for the playoffs. He made his first appearance off the bench last week. We're looking to see if Leo gets playing time tonight. Hopefully he does. And if Leo can come back, that is a wild card that we can look at for the playoffs. So that's something we're looking at tonight.
Hey, I got to ask you guys again, because I've got a lot of people that are listening to this segment now, and they're not soccer people. And they've been asking me, and they're baseball guys, what our Rowdies are if we were looking at the MLB structure. Are they AAA, AAA? Break that down for us, one of you guys. I don't care who does.
David, if you want to take that, go ahead. Otherwise, I can run with it.
You can go with it, Jim.
Okay, they're AAA. MLS is Major League Soccer is the quote-unquote majors. And the Rowdies are AAA baseball, so that's where they sit. They're the second league. They're a professional league in their own right. Now, if we were in any other country in the world where there's a thing called promotion and relegation, which we would love to see here in the United States, that would mean that the champion and maybe one other team or maybe even two from USL would go up to Major League Soccer the following season and the bottom three teams would drop into the USL. Mike, could you imagine if the three worst teams in Major League Baseball became AAA teams the following season because of their poor performance and the top three AAA teams became Major League Baseball teams? Just try that thought on for size.
That's the system?
That is the system in the rest of the world. It's called promotion and relegation. And so you have, think of the number of Bucks games we've watched where they're out of the playoffs and no one cares, right? But imagine if they were playing for their place in the NFL. So now you've got a 3-12 Buck team playing a game for survival against, a 4-11 team. Everybody suddenly cares about that game because the whole look of the franchise hinges on that game. The American sports is missing the boat by not having promotion or relegation. Also, think of the number of big cities. Take Louisville as an example. That's a big city, right? Why shouldn't they have a chance to be a major league team? Why couldn't they earn their way in? Tampa. Why can't Tampa Bay? We should be in the MLS. We should have the chance to be in the MLS according to world soccer rules. But we're not playing by world soccer rules. We're playing by American sports rules. So we are a USL team. We always will be until that situation changes.
Hey, when the Rowdies were founded, weren't they like at the level of MLS originally? Yeah. And what happened there?
The North American Soccer League. But that league folded in 1984. And the Rowdies remained a club, and they caught on to a league here, a league there, an indoor league for a while. And then when 1996 came around and Major League Soccer began, the Tampa area was given a franchise, but it wasn't the Rowdies. It was a team called the Tampa Bay Mutiny, and they only lasted 3 years. They were a league-owned franchise. We talked about that on one of our previous episodes. Perry Vanderbeck talked about that. They were a league-owned franchise, so they didn't have the benefit of local ownership, which is really, it turns out, really matters, because the local people have to care about what's going on. And but the Rowdies remained viable in the background all those years, joining various minor leagues along the way. And then now they're still here with the United Soccer League, which isn't a minor league. It is in the sense that it's not MLS, but it's the second most viable league in the country.
Well, thanks for getting me straightened out, and I'm sure a lot of our audience appreciate that, too, because a lot of curiosity, and I told you I went to my first game, and I tell you, gentlemen, I was very impressed with the stadium. I'd been there before, you know, when the small ball was played there, the renovations they'd done. Now they've got Tampa Bay Rays own them. I've got the Eckerd College men's soccer team in the house, gentlemen, just so we can continue in our... Got Jim Hart and some of the guys in the world of soccer on in our Rowdy segment right now, fellas. Thanks for coming on down. I figured it should be MLS eventually. This is an MLS market.
It is. So that's just how it is. I don't know what could make it so, but there's a lot of people that would love to see it.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, they actually had a conversation about doing a promotion relegation between the USL and the division below that, the League One, but they put those talks on hold. I don't know when they're going to continue them, but it was something that they were discussing in the middle of the summer.
Yes. And there are some pretty sizable markets in that league below the Rowdies as well.
So I'm gonna blow these guys away when I start using the promotion relegation that I learned what that actually is. Yeah, we're gonna do it in baseball from Double A to Triple A. How about that? That'd be kind of cool.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I'm gonna let you go. We're gonna take a hard break, and then we're gonna have our little Triton time. Talk to the men's soccer team, and we'll be talking to you next week. Hopefully, I think I'll be going to the first Rowdies playoff game, and I look forward to seeing who the opponent is. But once again, have a great weekend. I appreciate joining us. Thank you, Avery, for joining us, trio of old guys. And it's always great to talk a little soccer with the youth movement. I got youth in front of me right now, so we'll continue the conversation. And by the way, Jim Hart, you're more than welcome to stay on while we talk Eckerd soccer if you want.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to take a hard break. Stay on hold there, Jim. And then we'll be back. We'll talk Triton time right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on a spectacular October 14th. Nice cool breeze out here. Got 100 televisions. You name the game, it's going to be on down here at Ferg's today and, of course, tomorrow for the NFL lineup. We'll be right back.
First quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Tampa
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Tampa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the Pee Wees to the Preps to the Pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays, Bucks, and Lightning watch parties, every game, and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Rowdies fans, your Tampa Bay Rowdies are back in the USL playoffs for a fifth consecutive season. Come cheer on the boys in green and gold on Saturday, October 21st in downtown St. Petersburg. Purchase tickets today by calling 727-222-2000 or visiting www.rowdiesoccer.com. Join us October 21st as the Rowdies start their playoff quest to bring home a third championship trophy back to Tampa Bay. Come on, you Rowdies!
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Connection. We are live down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Just had a nice rowdy segment talking a little soccer. We thought we'd back it up on this football weekend, American football weekend. We've got college games down here. Florida State, of course, Syracuse kicks off at noon, and they've got their watch party here. And then, of course, you got Michigan in the house, their watch party each and every Saturday. A bevy of teams come down, and they have it. But a team that came down today to join us was the Eckerd College men's soccer, the Tritons. And of course, John Fletcher's been down here probably three or four times. And I see at the basketball games. I didn't realize that you're a golfer too. You like to golf.
Oh, I love my golf.
Well, you know we have simulators upstairs now.
Oh, really?
We got two golf simulators.
I've always wanted to have a go on one of them, but never tried it. So
well, I tell you what, you have an open invitation. You got my card, or I'll give you one. You text me, grab the coaches, and come down anytime. Okay.
We'll be here.
I knew that'd get you. Yeah. And you got a new golf coach now too. Have you met him?
New golf coach, yeah, really good guy. David came down from West Virginia. Obviously, got to fill big shoes with the legend of Bill Buckner. But he's off to a really good start, and they seem to be working together in unison. So I think they're going to do really well, and he's going to do a great job.
Well, I actually do the show with Bill Buckner, and we brought him down here, and seems like a great guy.
He really is.
He came from a Division II school with all kinds of obstacles. Now he's been down in paradise. The same reason why you came down here.
If you can recruit to West Virginia, you can recruit to Florida.
Exactly. Yeah. I've told you before, and you've never taken offense because it's a fact. All you got to do is have people put their feet on the campus of Eckerd, and it's a done deal for the most part. And most of your international players actually don't physically get over here during their decision making, do they?
No, it's difficult. We try to see everybody play live, so we meet them in person, but very rarely do we actually get them on campus, unless they're already based in the U.S. So, Tommy Shepard, who actually during COVID, you know, you have phone calls, you have Skype calls and Zoom calls, and then you have video and you watch, and you have to go your gut a little bit on those guys.
Thanks for the 21st century, and every one of your teams over there at Eckerd typically have a international flavor to them.
Absolutely, yeah. Barring a couple of the, you know, I think baseball's more American based, but our teams have a real European and South American feel. You know, Aiden Leake here is from South Africa. Tommy Shepard's from London, but I think In total, we have maybe 10 different countries represented through our program.
On the soccer team?
I think so.
That's just the men's?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so give our audience that haven't listened to you before a little bio. You've been with Eckerd now 3 years, is that right?
Yeah, I've been at Eckerd for 3 years. I was at St. Leo before that.
Oh, I didn't know you yeah, were over the in the conference while, already.
Yeah. only for 1 year as an assistant. And before that, I was in Los Angeles at LA Galaxy, working with their youth teams for 8 years.
How did you enjoy that?
I loved it. I loved the experience of being around, you know, an organization like that, and getting to know people. And it was a really great experience for me as a development coach to watch and learn from other people that, you know, mentored me.
In your travels, have you ever had an opportunity in the area to meet Jim Hart? He heads up the Champions League, and he's an icon in the high school world here. I call him the godfather of high school soccer in our area.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've never met Jim, but I've heard nothing but great
things. Well, say hello to him. He's listening right now, and we'll have to get him down here sometime and go to an Eckerd game.
Sounds good. Hey, Jim, you want to come out? Let us know. We'd love to have you.
Oh, I'd love to. And I was on the Eckerd men's soccer staff 85, 86, and 87 with Jim DeNoble. So I've been there. I know your trials and tribulations in the Sunshine State Conference. What a tough conference that is, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's the toughest conference in the country, for sure. You know, it's great an opportunity for our players and for recruiting, because if you come to Sunshine State Conference, you're competing every week against the best teams in the country. And if you can prove yourself at that level, you know, who knows where you can end up. So we love the fact that it's challenging, but I know that there's some weeks the boys probably wish they had an easier game.
I've called it the SEC of Division II, essentially.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do call it that.
Yeah, I mean, and the depth. What years were you there, Jim? Age yourself and myself, because we're about the same age. What years were you at Eckerd?
1985, 86, and 87.
I don't think any of these guys were born. John, you weren't born, were you?
I was born in 86, so right in the middle.
Okay. Yep.
Right. Don't have much memory of it.
Well, you're talking to a couple of old veterans with wisdom that we haven't been put out to pasture quite yet. So let's introduce. Let's go to South Africa first as we travel. We've already touched England, and then we'll go to London. Introduce this young man and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Welcome to Fergs.
Thank you so much. My name is Eddie, from Africa, Cape Town. I attended TJC before this, Tyler Junior College in Texas. And before that, I've been at Ice Cape Town in Cape Town. And yeah.
So talk about making the decision. What year are you, by the way?
I'm junior.
You're junior? Talk about making the decision to go to Eckerd, what your family thought about it. I've talked to several South African and I think a couple of females that have come over. Talk about what your family thought about you coming across the pond and joining the Eckerd Triton team.
I think my family was very pleased with it. I was speaking to another school, and my mom and dad were like, "You can't go there. You gotta come to Eckerd. It just makes sense." Coach John actually came to watch me play twice, right? Twice, once in Florida and once in Texas. He was actually recruiting someone else originally, our striker that came through already, Freddie Heiss. And we made contact through there, and then, yeah, the rest is history.
So you had already envisioned giving a scholarship to another player, and then you saw him play?
Yeah, so I go to the JUCO National Championships every year. Obviously, Tyler Junior College, where he comes from, is one of the best in the country. And so I always keep a keen eye on them, right? So 2 years ago, I was recruiting a striker, Freddie Heiss, and we really, really liked him and figured that out. And then as I'm watching Freddie play, I'm like, well, I like the look of the goalkeeper, but he's got another year. So we kept our eye on him throughout the year. And then when the JUCO National Championships happened again the year after in Melbourne, I traveled down and watched him again. And by that time, we knew.
So then you went to Australia to watch him?
Yeah.
Melbourne?
Yeah, Melbourne, Florida.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, well, you never know with you.
You never know.
It sounded ignorant when I reflect back on it, but it wasn't that bizarre of a question.
No, it really isn't. But one thing I will say is, you know, since Aiden's come in, he's been a three-time Conference Player of the Week already.
Defensive Player of the Week, I heard. I did a little research. Well, Amanda Green did it for me. She does a superb job. Yeah, I know I got an All-American over here. I wouldn't know that. But the reality is, you're a goalkeeper?
Yes, sir.
My favorite position, because that's the one I understand. And I think, you know, as an old jock playing free safety in D2 back in the day, I always like being a defender. And basically, when you're a free safety, you're the last bastion for a long bomb. Well, same thing with a goalkeeper.
Exactly that.
Yeah, I love that position.
Yeah, a lot of Americans tend to gravitate towards goalkeeping. I mean, whenever I tell an American I'm a goalkeeper, they're like, oh, yeah, I played goalkeeper when I was younger. So it's quite easy to relate to.
Well, and your reaction time. That's the thing that, well, and you guys can explain this to me. As I always say, I've got a book upstairs, Soccer for Dummies. I really have it. And when you're making a decision, when they got a free kick?
Yeah.
What do you watch before they get ready to kick? Because how many feet wide is the goal? Come on, you should know. You live there.
I know it's 3 feet high.
Closer into the microphone.
3 feet high and about 10 feet wide.
About 10 feet wide. So, do you look at their eyes? Do you look at? I mean, how do you make a decision? Because you got to be proactive, instantaneous from when they get ready to kick that.
When it's a free kick and a shot, you're not. I'm not really reading any body language. It's more just reactive. So. Ship can tell you as well. When taking a free kick, he's trying to put the goalkeeper off quite a bit. So for me, I'm just waiting for him to actually kick the ball for me to react. And hopefully my angles are good enough to cover most of the goal as well. And yeah, I'll take it from there.
How about your wingspan? Your wingspan's good too.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
All right, why don't we move over here and talk to Tommy? And of course, from London and All-American. Nice and loud, young man.
Yeah, last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it.
So what year are you?
I'm a junior now, so I still got one more year.
So you got a relatively seasoned but young team.
Yeah, we're young, but everybody's coming back. We're losing a couple, but majority of the squad come back, and they've got a really big potential for next year, of course this year too.
Now your season has started in the fall.
Yeah, we're about halfway through our season right now.
Now do you play in the spring as well, right?
We do play in the spring, but it's not our competitive segment. It's non-competitive, which is it's more about development and figuring out our style of play and systems and that type of thing.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming down in the heart of this season. What's your record so far?
We're just below 500. We've had a couple of tough losses the last few weeks. We started well, and I think the amount of stress that the season puts on your body, you're going to come to a point where your energy levels drop a little bit, and I think ours did. So we were disappointed with ourselves last week, but I expect us to bounce back today against Flagler. I think the boys have a point to prove.
Are you playing today?
We played today.
We've got to give you some connection karma here, baby. What's your favorite memory so far at Eckerd College? You have one game, one match. I'm getting better. One match that you guys that you personally that stands out.
I think one for me is a couple of weeks back. We traveled down to Lynn on a Saturday night, number 5 in the country at the time. Odds were against us. You know, we as a team, we stuck together, proper unit, really, really solid defensive performance to walk away with a point when nobody expected us to. So for me, that was, you know, that was a really, really good night for the boys and for the program too.
Number 5 in the country, that gives you an indication of your conference, right?
Absolutely. I think we went on a run of number 3, number 5, and number 9 in the country back to back. So the conference has 6 teams currently in the top 25 in the region. Very, very tough call.
Now, when the playoff opportunities come, do they base it on strength of schedule?
Strength of schedule is a piece of it. Obviously, with our conference being so strong, you build up your regional ranking just by beating conference teams. So for us, the most important thing is to be successful in the conference, make the conference tournament, and if we do that, you know, then you go in as a postseason player, you get a run going, and then should be, in theory, fine to go to the national.
Tommy, when you made the decision to come over across the pond, and Did John come over and see you? He probably he doesn't mind going home from time to time, so he had to go back and see you, or did you do it via Zoom and FaceTime and all the 25?
Yeah, it was all via Zoom because I was recruited in the time of COVID, so it was difficult to fly here, there, and everywhere, which meant obviously coach couldn't come and see me, and I couldn't come over here to see the campus and to train with the guys and stuff. So it was all done via Zoom calls and highlight reels and all that sort of stuff.
What school besides Eckert were you looking at, or were they looking at you?
Funnily enough, Flagler was one of them. So that's who we played tonight. There was a couple of schools up in New York.
I bet that when they saw you All-American last year, and now you need to give them a dose of Tommy this year as well, right?
I hope so. Yeah, we'll see tonight.
Now, that's a home game.
Yeah, 7 p.m. at home.
I got to get down there.
We'd love to have you.
I've got to go to a stinking wedding tonight. I'd just as soon come watch you guys play.
Bring the wedding to the game.
Yeah.
They're all welcome.
Yeah, I'll show up in a suit. I can't wait to see this cat as a goalkeeper and see this All-American. How many more games do you have left between now and then?
We've got six left.
Six left.
So non-conference today and then five conference. We're going down the stretch.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate what's your what's your favorite American meal that you hadn't dined on in England?
It's a tough question. That I love my meat. So just a big steak.
You can get those at home, man. You can get those.
They're not the same at home.
Not like an American steak.
That's correct. Because I'm from Cornfield, Iowa. What's your favorite meal that you can't get in South Africa?
I love a good taco.
I'm sorry, one more time?
I love a good taco.
Good tacos, yeah. No tacos in South Africa?
Not very good ones, though.
Yeah, well, I'm not a taco guy. How about you, Coach?
I like it all. Like Shep, I like a good steak. I do like the tacos, but for me, it's the fresh seafood. I love the fresh seafood.
Well, you're in the right part of the country. And at my old age, I got to get it. I don't like seafood. And now I live in Florida. And when you get old, it's supposed to be better for you.
No, you're missing out. It's beautiful.
I'm a beef guy. I know. I hear that every day. Well, I appreciate you taking time, especially on game day. I really appreciate this coming down, Coach. And bring some fellas. Reach out to me. You want to do a little team building someday during the day. I'd certainly meet you here. My office is upstairs. And I'll throw you guys. We're going to have the golf team. But we'll throw you guys on a simulator. Have a little team building.
The boys would love that.
Want to do that?
Yeah, thank you.
We'll get that set up. All right, that's the Eckerd College men's soccer team. They've got a game tonight, 7 o'clock over there at Eckerd College. If you haven't been to that campus, you're a soccer fan. Jim Hart, I know you love that campus. And these guys are great guys. John's a superb guy. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate you coming down. Good luck tonight. Kick some butt against Flagler, man. You got to love those conversations, Jim.
Gotta love it. And that result against Lynn, that's amazing that you guys did that. That's really something. Congratulations on that.
Okay, will you make sure you let Ryan, we're up against a hard break, you let Ryan Helfrich know that we talk soccer for 45 minutes today on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. All right, my man, have a great weekend. I appreciate you bringing the guys in this week, as always. And I'll talk to you next week. We'll do some more planning. We'll be back. Hour number two, we've got Northside Christian in the house. We're going to talk to the St. Pete College volleyball women, and then we'll talk a little MLB playoffs. We'll talk a little NFL, Bucks, and Lions. We got a jam-packed second hour live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.